So I thought of the ordination, I thought of the church and the, I guess, the mystery of Jesus having the confidence that humanity could take the gospel message to the world. Seems what I would consider risky, and yet he knew that the Holy Spirit was coming, and he was confident that with the power of the Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel could go forward. So I've entitled this devotional, World Changers, and invite you to turn to Acts chapter 17, if you care to, where I would like to read about the apostles who were changing the world. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. I will stop reading there. So here in Acts, we find Paul on one of his missionary journeys. They stop in Thessalonica, preaching and teaching in the synagogue, and it stirs up the unbelieving Jews. They accuse Paul of preaching against the king Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. But I find it fascinating the wording that they use. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Now, if you've done any history research, you know that the Christian community was actually quite small at the beginning of the church age. But their perspective was, these people are turning the world upside down. So then it made me thoughtful. Does our Christian message have this kind of impact in Reno County? And I'm not talking about some kind of eccentricity that makes people notice us, but rather a zeal for God that makes people take note. I know that I lack this zeal, but it really isn't accomplished by drumming up more enthusiasm or just somehow, if we can just drum up more zeal for the Lord. I believe it's accomplished through the Holy Spirit lighting a fire in our own hearts. And I think that Ephesians chapter 1 has some things to say in lighting a fire in our bosom for the Lord Jesus. So I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3 through verse 14. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Just like to look at all the ways that we have the riches in Christ Jesus. So looking at verse 3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So God has blessed us rich spiritually, which means we lack nothing when it comes to spiritual vitality. We have all we need at our disposal to flourish. So coming back to the Acts account, they who have turned the world upside down, how do we become world changers? I believe it's because of the riches in Christ Jesus and us allowing that to change us and to light that fire in our own hearts. Verses 4 through 6, we are in Christ to be set apart for his work in us and his outworking through us. So there's a work that God does in us so that we can then have an outworking as well, which is only possible by his grace. We are called sons and daughters of God. Do we live like we are his children? We are accepted by God, which gives us purpose. He has predestined us to the adoption of sons. We are his children. In verses 7 and 8, we have the redemption through his blood. We have been forgiven of our past life and sins, which is only possible by his grace. Here again, God lavishes us with more than we need so that we can live righteously and godly in this evil world. God's provisions are here for us so that we can live a set-apart life. We can live as God would have us live and as world changers. Verses 9 through 11, or 9 and 10, he says, he reveals his will to us as we surrender, as we yield to our lives to him. And his desire is to gather together in one all things in Christ. In Christ, there is no need for factions or divisions because Jesus unites all races, all ethnicities, and can I say, all perspectives. We know that in a church there will be varied perspectives. Jesus says he has come to unite us all in one. Doesn't mean we always see things alike, but there's a united purpose that we can have through Jesus. Verses 11 and 12. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. We have a rich inheritance in Christ. Why? So that we should be to the praise of his glory. Our lives should be merely to bring praise and honor and glory to God. Coming back to the the thing of a living sacrifice. Why? So that we could be to the praise of his glory. And we recognize all that we have been given, and we in turn bring glory to God. Verses 13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There it is, the Holy Spirit. The part of the Godhead that Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And here Paul brings it out. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? And finally, we have been given the down payment of our possession, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit truly is a game changer if we allow him to work in us. So in conclusion, my desire is that the riches that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 1 would penetrate my heart so deeply that my life is constantly renewed and energized by the Holy Spirit. And as that happens, I'm convinced in my heart the world will change around me. God's kingdom will be advancing and will come. And so may it be said of us, they're turning the world upside down. Not because of us, anything we're doing, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling and moving among us. Would you bow for prayer? Lord Jesus, I'm awed that you have invited us into your kingdom. You've adopted us as your sons and daughters, and you've invited us into the work of bringing the kingdom of God to this earth. Lord, it's a work much greater than us, but it's not a work that can't be accomplished as your Holy Spirit pours its life into us. So, Father, I just pray that that could be said of us, that your Holy Spirit is moving and working in among us. Father, I pray for the moving of your Holy Spirit in this service this evening, in the taking of the lot, and I pray your blessing and empowerment on the brother who's chosen. And I pray your blessing and empowerment on the brother who's not. And for each of us, Lord, we have a work that you have for us, and I pray that we could find that and that you would grant us the grace and the strength to be world changers, not in a big way, but in our sphere of influence. And we pray to that end here this evening and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Julian, for that. The riches that we have in Christ Jesus, what a gift and what a blessing. Mine went to 2 Peter, where it talks about, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Then it goes on, it's through the knowledge of him. It's through knowing Jesus that we gain this life and godliness. So thank you, Julian, for that. Okay. One thing, I forgot two things. I forgot to bring a mic up front, the cordless mic. You got it, and you're bringing the table as well. Thank you, if you go ahead and bring it up here. Thank you, Michael. Will you control it back there, Alvin? Okay, thank you. Okay, I think the time has come to to use the drawing of the lot to see who the Lord has chosen for our next deacon here at Center. I have a card here. On the one side, it says, God has called you to serve as a deacon. And on the other side, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Proverbs 16:33. I will place this card in song number 244. It's a song, Teach Me, O Lord, Thy Way of Truth, and from it I will not depart. I think I'll ask Conrad Miller to come up, take the books, and take them to the side room and place them on the bench in the room. And Brother James Shetler, would you go get the books and place them on the table as seems appropriate to you? Thank you. Shane, could we have one verse of the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord? Just soon, I looked at it earlier and I don't remember the song number. I'd like to offer a brief prayer, and after the prayer, if you would just lead that, the first verse of Have Thine Own Way, while the brothers draw the lot. Do you have the song number? 923, if you want to use the hymn books. Invite us to bow our heads for prayer. You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to serve as deacons as a deacon at Center. We pray through Christ. Amen. So Shane, if you lead that one verse of that song, and brothers, as you feel led, you may receive your books.
After all. Brother Ellis and Lenita, you may stand. Brother Ellis, through the voice of the church and use of the lot, God has called you to the office of deacon. Are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself up to the work which this office demands of you as a faithful laborer in the Church of Jesus Christ?
I am.
Will you, by God's grace, give heed to all the doctrines of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and when the office of deacon requires this of you, to teach them faithfully under the direction of the Holy Spirit and with humility, and faithfully abide in the Lord unto the end?
I will.
Are you willing to assist in serving the church or congregation in which you are called to labor in accordance with the instructions and teachings of Christ and the apostles, subjecting yourself to other faithful leaders with whom you labor, and in all things to show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord?
I am.
You may kneel. Brother Ellis, upon this confession and these promises that you have made before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and His church, ordain you to the office of deacon. It will be your duty to receive and care for the charities of the church, to distribute them to needy members according to their necessities, to visit the sick, the widows, and the orphans, and comfort them, praying with them in their affliction, to assist in the administration of baptism and communion, to bear testimony to the truth in public ministrations, and when the need arises or when you are called upon, it shall be your duty to conduct the services by reading, exhortation, and prayer. When strife or difficulties arise between brethren, it will be your duty to work together with the rest of the ministry to bring about reconciliation and restore unity and peace. Be faithful to the Lord, and He will grant you wisdom and understanding from on high, will give you grace to do His work, and will bless you in all your duties. The grace of God be with you. Amen. Shall we pray? Brother Ellis, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father in heaven, we thank you for Brother Ellis and the way that you have used him in the past and the way that you are using him now and the way that you will use him in the future. Father, we just pray a special outpouring and empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Give him the giftings that are needed to fulfill this calling and this role in the Church of Jesus Christ. Pray that you would give him a heart of compassion for those who are going through hardships, whether that's financially, relationally, grieving. Give him a heart of compassion for souls. Give him a burden for lost souls to reach out and to minister truth and grace to them. Give him the courage to speak truth in love. Give him wisdom to know when to speak and when to be quiet. Lord, you have filled him with your Spirit already, and we just pray an ongoing outpouring of your Spirit upon his life, that you would use him to glorify yourself, to build up your kingdom, to build up your church. We pray this through Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord, thank you for what you have done, what you have shown us this evening. Thank you for calling Brother Ellis to this work. Lord, I pray too your empowering and blessing on his heart and life. And especially tonight, Lord, we lift Sister Lenita to you and ask that you would be her strength, grant her abundant grace as she walks alongside Ellis in the work you've called him to. Lord, as she, for her mother heart, for her children, and as she wonders what the future holds, Lord, you are faithful. You will provide grace. You will provide strength. And so we ask you do that in abundant measure for her as she faithfully serves you, faithfully walks with Ellis in his calling, and faithfully mothers their children. Lord, I pray that you would give her eyes to see needs around her and wisdom to know when to bring them to Ellis's attention. And thank you for how you have created us to help each other as husband and wife. And we believe that you are you will help Sister Lenny to do that well and to do that faithfully as she walks with Ellis. Bless her this evening in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you, gracious Father, for the way in which you have called Ellis and Lenita and their family into your service. Thank you for how they have listened to you and they have served in ministry in Bangladesh the many years and are now agreeing to serve here at Center. Lord, we just recognize that there are and will be many demands on Ellis's time. And so, in recognition of that, we just ask that you give special grace to Lenita, you give special grace to each of the children. Thank you, Lord, that they can be a part of this ministry and they can be an extension as they do their part. And so we just ask your divine anointing and blessing on them. Ask that you would be with Seth as he ministers abroad. Encourage and bless him in this time when he would like to be here, but continue to bless his ministry in the Ukraine. Lord, we ask for your blessing on Nicholas, on Kirsty, on Annalise, and on Leah. Thank you, Lord, that you have a part for each of them. And we just believe that you will accomplish your good purposes through this family. And we just pray in the words of the Apostle Paul, this prayer for Ellis and for Lenita and for each of the children. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. We believe that he who has begun a good work in each of your family will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So may the God of grace, our good shepherd, bring peace, comfort, and great joy to your hearts as you serve him going forward. We trust each of you into Jesus' loving arms of care. Amen.
And for you, Sister Lenita, your husband has been called to the office of deacon of the Center congregation. Stand by his side, support him, and encourage him in his new responsibility. Be faithful to God, to your husband, your family, and to the church, and you shall receive the glad words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God bless you.